Hey there, everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. This is episode number 313. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line, send an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com, stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can follow us on Twitter. The handle is thisshowisogay. And of course, go on over to that Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. I am back from backpacking in the Colorado Rockies. Thank you guys so much for your amazing feedback on last week's show with Hannah Rothman. We have another amazing show for you this week, so we must get started with our guest. Harrison Scott is a New York-based synth-pop singer who recently released his debut EP entitled Spectral Evidence. He has been featured everywhere from MTV to VH1 to Logo TV. Entertainment Weekly, my favoritest of all the magazines, said that he, well, we love that one, don't we, Harrison?
Of course we do.
Entertainment Weekly said that he has a real knack for emulating the sounds of 80s synth pop. Yahoo Music said, now this is quite the quote, Harrison's well-constructed songs take inspiration from the pioneers Depeche Mode and Gary Numan with an emotional helping of Perfume Genius and Twin Shadow. Ken Schneck from This Show Is So Gay, that's me, says that Harrison's music will most definitely transport you. And hey, now he's here with us. Harrison Scott, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you, Ken, and thank you for that wonderful quote.
Look, I only gave my quote. You had all of these other quotes. What's it like to get the press? I know, I didn't write the other ones. What's it like to get the press that you are getting, sir?
It's exciting. It's fun to read those things. Like, people will always read them and be like, who wrote those? Did you write these? So it's just fun that people are listening and that people are responding and sort of understanding it in the way that I want them to.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Some of the quotes that have been said about me in the past have been written by my mom. You're saying this is not the case for your family? Your family did not write these quotes, correct?
I mean, they text me some good quotes sometimes, but no, they are real quotes, I promise.
We believe you. Let's start where we start with all of our music people out there. Harrison, why the medium of music to get your voice out there?
Music is just so fun because it encompasses so many things. You know, I write and produce the music, and I do it all myself, but then you get to make a video with that, and you get to, you know, make the album covers, and you get to promote yourself via social media. So I think it's just fun that it, like, encompasses so many different mediums, and you get to work in video and in music and in photo, and it's just, like, a combination of so many things that I enjoy doing.
Yeah. I get overwhelmed by hearing all of those things. Couldn't you just pick one of them?
I mean, I guess, but then no one would pay attention.
Yeah.
I feel like these days you have to do, you know, you're so visible that you have to do so many levels of things to get people to notice you.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of juggling, though. It sounds like you can't just drop one of those balls in order to get people to notice the music that you're putting out there.
But I think that's what's so fun about it. You know, you get to juggle. You get to put on so many different hats. And, you know, that's what I enjoy about it. I think that's why I kind of got into it. Because I actually went to school for, like, advertising and art direction and design. So I went to art school. So that's sort of my background. But, like, it wasn't enough. You know, I wanted to do more. And I've always done music. So I figured, why not combine everything?
Nice. Now, you say you've always done music. How far back can I go to find an early recording or video of Harrison Scott singing something?
You could probably find a ton of them. my mom, funny enough, actually owns a children's theater. So I grew up singing and dancing, sort of not against my will, but there wasn't really a choice in my family of whether or not you were going to sing and dance on stage.
Wow. And I would like to remind our listeners that on next week's show, Harrison Scott's mother. So this is very exciting.
God, she would love to do that. You have no idea.
I'm not ruling it out. So did she put you in musical theater productions?
Yes, she did. I think one of my first show was Charlie Brown. I was Snoopy. So there's probably some video from 1996 of me dancing in the Snoopy costume.
I love it. We are so getting her on the show next week to debut that. That's gonna. that's like a B side of Spectral
All my
Evidence.
Friendly right now, and tell her that she has an interview. She'll be so excited.
She'll be so excited. What do you love about being up there on stage?
Just the rush of doing it, I think, is just the most exciting thing. I had a show last week, and I was getting ready to go on stage, and I put on my shirt, and I had this amazing shirt custom made by my friend Nick Palmer, and it ripped in half 2 minutes before I was supposed to go on stage. So I just literally, like, took off the shirt, threw it on, and just went on stage because there was nothing else to do. So I think it's just that, like, adrenaline rush and that, like, mentality of all eyes on you kind of makes you love it.
Yeah. Tell me, let's just take a step back even further. What would you say that you, Harrison Scott, are trying to do with your music?
I guess I'm just trying to... I think what's so fun about my music is that it's at one time, it's me, but it's also sort of like this alter ego of me. So I guess I'm trying to, like, present this alternate world that I sort of am creating and existing in to everyone else. You know, it's like showing my alter ego, and I want people to continue to understand what that is.
Yeah. What's it like to be compared to Depeche Mode?
It's a huge honor, a huge, huge honor. Depeche Mode are one of, like, my biggest influences. I love their music. I love their vibe. So to be compared to them sort of right out the gate was, like, one of the most exciting and flattering things that I've gotten.
Oh, amazing. Sure. Amazing. Now, for our listeners who are thinking, well, gosh, I only know the Indigo Girls, or I only know, you know, one particular brand of music, how would you describe synth pop?
I would describe synth pop as, my brand of synth pop, I think, is fun and danceable, but it also has sort of this, like, dark edge.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the song could be upbeat, it could have, you know, a danceable beat to it, but at the same time, the lyrics sort of take you into a deeper place. And that's what I try to do in my music, is sort of balance pop and the sort of darker side that I want to portray.
How dark is Harrison Scott?
I mean, he gets dark sometimes.
Yeah. That's okay. That's okay.
No, it's funny. A lot of my songwriting will happen sort of in the middle of the night. I have this one song called Sleep, and the chorus of it is literally, I don't sleep at night. I'll just lay in bed sometimes, and there'll be so much going on that I'm like, I have to get up and do something right now. So the majority of my album was probably created at like 3 in the morning.
Wow.
So the darkness is inspirational for me.
I want you to sleep more. I'm not awake at 3 a.m., Harrison.
I want to tweet more too, but then there wouldn't be music.
Okay.
So it's a double-edged sword.
I guess. Now, what about the dance part? How would we characterize Harrison Scott, the dancer?
Oh, he has fun. He has fun. I like to get down on stage. No, it's funny. My show that I'm doing right now, which is the Spectral Evidence show, the beginning starts a little darker and slower, and then there's sort of like this transition point where I rip off this white jumpsuit I have, and I have, like, these leather pants, and so I'm not really wearing a shirt, but then the show gets more upbeat and more dancey. I like to have fun on stage.
Yeah.
I think if you're not having fun, no one else is going to have fun, you know?
Do you think that there is a signature Harrison Scott dance move?
Oh, there for sure is. And if you check out my Instagram, Harrison Scott Sound, you can, I just made a little gif of me dancing on stage. So pretty much the same move over and over, but it's a good one. So I'm
all right. Do you want to teach it to me right now? You can teach it to me right now. I'm ready.
You sort of like just stand up and put your knees out and then just bounce up and down, moving your arms. I wish I could see you right now, Ken, because I'm sure you're a master at it already.
Emotionally, I am. Thank you. Thank you. But not so much with the actual dancing. Well, we have to talk about spectral evidence first. Tell me about the title. Where did that come from?
Did you ever get into like a Wikipedia hole where you just go from article to article to article? And you're like, how did I arrive at this place?
Yeah.
That's sort of what I just Google random things. I was probably Googling or Wikipediaing like Freud or something, and I got to spectral evidence, which is it's a form of evidence that's based upon dreams and visions, and it was used a lot, like during the Salem witch trials, they used it as actual evidence.
Yeah.
So they used people's dreams as evidence to prove that these people were witches.
Yeah.
And that, for some reason, just really responded to me. Like I said, a lot of my music is created at night, so I don't know. I thought it was a really fitting and interesting title.
It's also a litmus test, it sounds like, for dating. So it's very versatile. It's a very versatile phrase there.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it. Now, let's talk about, I have watched clips of you. I am delaying this question. I am finally ready to ask this question. Having watched clips.
What are you going to ask me?
Do you have a sense of what I'm going to ask you? I feel like your mind's already there.
I don't know.
All right.
Let's go for it.
Are you, Harrison Scott, uncomfortable with a shirt on?
I think I am.
Yeah.
I just like don't. No, I'll notice that sometimes. I'll be like posting photos on Facebook or Instagram, and I'm like, this is like the seventh photo in a row where I haven't been wearing a shirt. So yeah, I think I'm just more comfortable not wearing a shirt.
I get nervous that you're going to post, you know, a video with you with a shirt on, and your audience is going to be like, what a sellout, you know? They don't know what to expect with you.
It's so off-brand.
I love that someone wearing a shirt is off-brand, but that's okay.
No, actually, the shirt I wear in my show is literally like a sheer nylon skin-tight shirt. It's just an excuse to wear a shirt, but pretty much be shirtless.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, has your family come to see you perform?
They have. My mom was actually, she flew out from Chicago for my first show in New York, which was the cutest thing. She, like, lost her phone on the way, and she was having, like, the worst time. She's horrible with directions, but she made it to this bar in the Lower East Side. She saw the show. She knows what's going on. So, it was nice having that support.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I would love it. But I will say that Snoopy had much more of a costume than I would imagine Harrison Scott is sporting there on stage on the Lower East Side.
Yeah. But the color scheme is still the same.
Snoopy, yeah.
Black and white. Pretty much everything I wear is black, white.
Nice. Nice.
Shirtless.
Look how you were on brand, even back in You're a Good
I'm
Man, Charlie Brown.
The same thing. Exactly. I knew early on what was going to happen.
I love it. I love it. Talk to me about my old stomping grounds of New York City. What's it like to be there working in this scene?
It's fun. I feel like it just sort of makes anything you do seem more relevant. Like, I don't know. It's just like, it's amazing artists and driven people inspires you to be more driven and more creative. You know, it's just, there's so many talented people here that it really filters out.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things. And so there's so much ambition around you that it's hard not to have ambition, which is what I like about New York.
Right.
You know, you can't just sit on your ass. You gotta move and you gotta do things.
Yeah. Talk to me about how supportive the gay community has been of your work.
They've been good. Actually, Logo TV picked up my my first music video a couple months ago, which was extremely, extremely exciting seeing that on TV. But, the gay audience is extremely supportive, yeah.
Yeah. How important is it for you, Harrison Scott, to be an out artist doing this work?
I think it's extremely important. I mean, it's not something that I want to come up sort of in like the first three describing words of who I am, but
right.
It's like, this is my life and this is my art, so you know, why wouldn't you be open about it?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I love this. We're going to talk about some specific songs off of this EP.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Now, the song Locked Up was called Moody and Isolating. I don't know what to say about
it. Definitely is.
It definitely is. Come on, moody and isolating. What do we do with that?
Well, it's that balance of danceable but dark.
Yeah.
Which I guess is sort of how I would describe my work. But no, I mean, I get in my own head a lot, and I psych myself out a lot. And so I think Locked Up is really about getting out of your own head, you know, feeling crazy and feeling like mad, but sort of getting out of your head and expressing yourself to the world.
Nice. Normally we ask our guests, as we've been doing for the past 7 years, to do a little self-psychoanalysis based on their music, but you have a bit of a different background. So I'm gonna invent a whole new game for you on the spot, which I feel
you're ready. Let's do it.
You're ready for a new game. I'm gonna ask you to do a little art direction for us. So I'm gonna name some of your...
Oh, that's my background.
I know. That's why we're doing this. I know my guests. I'm going to name some of your songs, and what I want you to do for our listening audience is I want you to describe the perfect environment for them to listen to this song to get the most out of it, okay?
I love it.
I knew you were going to love it. So we'll start with the one that we just did. So if you are a listener and you're going to download the song, which you will, Locked Up, where should they be listening to Locked Up?
An abandoned industrial warehouse.
Nice. Nice. No shortage of those in New York City.
No, there aren't.
Okay. All right. So that's Locked Up. I'm going to make you do two more. Where should our listeners, when they download Bloodsport, where should they listen to it?
Ooh, a dark, sexy dance floor.
Wow.
Crowded with people.
And what should they be wearing?
Not a lot.
Okay. Okay. That's kind of your baseline. That's good. This is a good thing.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. And now last one. We'll do one more. Should our listeners, which they will, go to the iTunes and download Void, where should they listen to Void?
A white, empty room with just a mattress in the middle of it with candles all around.
That was like my first apartment in New York City.
Perfect.
Wow. All right. And what should they be wearing as they listen to Void?
Just white briefs.
Okay. Is there any song that you've ever created where you would recommend someone wearing clothes?
Clothes. I guess I have to look back at my library for that. Maybe Silence Into Noise, but you'd probably have to take them off halfway through.
I love it. I love it. And that concludes our inaugural segment of Art Direction with Harrison Scott. It might be a weekly segment.
Fun.
There you go. There you go.
That's a good one.
Now, I know in your background, you've also done some modeling, have you not?
A little bit, yeah.
What's that scene like?
It's fun. I don't know. I do it just sort of to promote my music.
Yeah.
Because it's like, here I am in a really cool outfit. You should listen to my music. You know, it's just a way to get promotional photos of yourself,
yeah,
pretty much.
That works.
But it's fun. No, I was at a show. My good friend Andre Landeros, I walked in his show last Fashion Week. And it's weird because, like, a lot of the photo shoots I do, I'm very much in control of what I'm wearing and what the hair is and what the makeup is. So it's weird to sort of be on that side of it where it's not about you. It's more about creating a different persona, you know. You're put into someone else's clothes, someone else does your makeup, someone else does your hair. It's
right.
Like, it's not you. So I think that's the weirdest thing for me, is like not being in control of my image.
Yeah. Oh, that would be difficult.
I'm a control freak. I'm a total control freak.
I hear you. I hear you, man. Now, I'm going to put up next to your name, you know, when we post this episode this week, there's going to be the album cover for Spectral Evidence. And people are going to write in and say, when is the Harrison Scott workout DVD coming out? What are the key?
Thank you.
What are the key workout points that our listeners need to know?
Not sleeping.
Okay.
Lots of coffee.
Great.
not sleeping and coffee, I feel like, are the big contributors.
Okay. All right. Well, those tips brought to you by Surgeon General Harrison Scott. That's really healthy. Really healthy, Harrison. That's fantastic.
I never said I was a role model. I've always wanted to say that. Thank you, Ken, for letting that come out.
I'm here to help. I am here to help. I'm here to help. You mentioned earlier you had a great show last week at the Cameo Gallery in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
How great was that, man?
It was so fun. It was my third live show performing the material off this album. And I did like full video projection throughout the whole thing. So every song had sort of like a theme and a video that went along with it. So that was just really cool to have that many elements on stage, and just for people to see it.
Yeah,
you know, it was fun. I'm actually going to Chicago in like 2 weeks to perform the same show at the Debonair Social Club on July 9th.
Nice.
So if you're in Chicago, come check it out.
I would surely hope that your mother will be at that one as well.
Of course she will. I mean, that's basically the reason I'm doing it.
Of course. Of course it is. Of course it is. Now, what if she wants to do a duet with you? Because I would imagine that she's got some numbers in her repertoire.
She is quite a singer. Her song, she's a big Barbara fan,
yeah.
Obviously, which is how I happened. but yeah, her song would probably be like, Sam, You Made the Pants Too Long by Barbara Streisand. Do you know that one, Ken?
I don't. Oh, my God. I feel so straight right now. I don't know that one.
Oh, my God. Well, maybe People by Barbara.
Of course.
Something.
Of course.
It would definitely, we would do, what's the Barbara and Judy duet? What's that one?
Get Happy, the happy one.
That would be the Leslie and Harrison duet, for sure. For sure.
I would pay to see that. I'm just saying.
One day, maybe.
What do you mean, maybe? July 9th, it's on.
If you come to the show, I will do it.
Chicago's not that far away. I will go. I'm a gay
really
Jew
not.
From New York City. I will surely travel on over to Chicago to go see you and your mom do Judy Garland and Barbara Streisand. I mean, come on. That's just in my heritage.
Well, we'll see you there, and we'll pull you on stage.
All
and
right.
We can add a third to that.
I love it. I love it. Now, I have to tell you, it's going to happen. I was looking at just, and this is such a random question, but like I was looking at your show at the Cameo Gallery, and one of the things that I was kind of marveling at and that I was kind of really happy about was that, and we've talked about this quite a bit over the past, you know, 6-7 years. Talk to me about making your shows affordable, because there's all this type of entertainment out there, particularly in New York City, that you can barely access because it's so freaking expensive, and you do keep your shows affordable.
I have to. I mean, at this point in my career, it's just to get people there.
Yeah.
You know? But, no, I mean, if every show could be free, I would be all for that.
Yeah.
Because honestly, as an artist, you just want people to hear you and to watch you and to just get involved. And I just want more people to do that. So, yes, it's super important that access is granted.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got this show coming up on July 9th. What else is coming up that you, sir, are excited about?
Well, I have a music video for Locked Up, which we've talked about a lot, which is going to come out. Hopefully in July. We just finished up post-production on it, so that's coming up very, very soon.
Nice.
And then I'm just looking at music for my next album.
Wow.
Just writing, and it's going to be like my debut full length.
Okay.
So just trying to make that the best it can be.
Now, with the video for Locked Up, you, Harrison Scott, as a control freak, how much control did you have?
Oh my God, I cannot tell you. It's very difficult working with me because I have to have a hand in everything, and I have to say yes to everything that happens, from the clothes to the location to the make. Like, I'm not an easy one to work with. I'm a little high maintenance when it comes to my work. But that being said, I'm really happy with with the final product that came together. It took about, I think we filmed it in February.
Wow.
It's just finally done. So it takes a while, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm such a control freak.
It's pretty cold in February. I would imagine without a shirt, that was rough for you.
I am actually wearing some great clothes.
Oh.
In this video, yeah. We wanted it to sort of be like a hybrid music video fashion film.
Okay.
So there will be some shirts featured. It's going to be a really good video. It's sort of a continuation of what happened in the first one.
Yeah.
But going a little deeper, more intense.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, listeners, everybody needs to stroll on over to harrisonscottsound.com. And right there, you can link up to his Instagram, to Twitter, to Facebook, to everything out there, and see the music, hear the music, and see the videos. Very exciting stuff happening there. For our listeners, you know, we always have folks who write in and say, gosh, you know, I have these songs that I want to get out there, but I just don't even know what to do first. Let's do a little learning annex with Harrison Scott.
All right.
What would you advise for them?
Just start doing it. I had this revelation about like 2 years ago where I was like, I've been writing music forever, but I've never done with it. I've never done anything with it. I'm pretty much the only person I played it for. So just put it out there. You know, it's so easy these days with SoundCloud and with Facebook and with Instagram. Just find a way to get your music out to people and start playing it for people and just start building it, you know? Build your brand, build your music.
And I love it.
I don't know. I feel like it's easier than ever these days.
Oh, it's so great.
Out there.
Well, I stand by what I said in the intro. Your music really is transportive. You can listen to it and just go to that place. I have to say, for me personally, it takes me right back to New York City, which is always a place that I want to be. But it just puts you in a different place. And I'm so appreciative for everything that you're putting out there, because it really will take someone's day and bring it to another place. And we're all looking for that at the end of the day.
Thank you so much. That's great to hear.
So
I'm glad it's doing that.
It's all good stuff. Again, everyone, strolling over to harrisonscottsound.com. Harrison, I will tell your mom next week that you say hi, and truly looking forward to the show on July 9th in Chicago.
I cannot wait for you to talk to her.
Harrison, please, please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Tanner. It was great talking to you.
Make me understand. Make me feel the pain. See the love set out in the rain, gambling away, spend it all on trust, take down what you have, pacify your lust.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, tons of time left on this week's episode to cover all of the latest LGBT news, and I've missed quite a bit of it because I've actually been gone for about 12 days. We did do an original episode last week, but I recorded it before I left. And again, as I said at the top of the show, thank you guys so much for the amazing feedback on Hannah Rothman, who I just loved talking to her in that project Rainbow Train. So if you've not checked out Rainbow Train there on iTunes, what an amazing gift that would make to someone who's just had a child or someone with toddlers to get conversations started that are absolutely not happening around gender nonconforming youth in the most beautiful packaging, in the most beautiful way of using children's music. So love people that are doing creative things. Love that. I was in Colorado. I went to the Colorado Rocky Mountains for the first time. This is an unsolicited, nothing to do with anything this show is so gay plug for Outward Bound, which I had heard of for high school and college students doing Outward Bound, but they had a special course for educators, and I signed up, and it pushed me so far out of my comfort zone. we have to do things like this, folks. We get trapped into complacency around all issues when we just stay in our comfort zone. And we want to be a little bit careful, because this is what I learned on Outward Bound. There are three concentric circles, and there in the middle is where we're comfortable. And the circle just beyond that is our learning place, and we want to get to that learning place. But what I also learned is that if you push yourself too hard, you can go to that third circle, which is the panic place. And holy cow, did I enter the panic place a couple times there in Colorado in the Rocky Mountains. Kind of had a breakdown while we were climbing a mountain at one point, halfway up. Just tears rolling down my cheeks. Went right into that panic zone. But I've taken those lessons, and I think it very much applies to the work that we do in the LGBT community, the fight for equality, where we want to get to that learning place, but we don't want to push ourselves so hard that we're in that overwhelmed panic place, because we don't do ourselves any good there, and we don't do the rest of the community good there. So I actually, sitting on the mountaintop, sitting on the summit, no joke, an 11,400-foot summit there in Colorado, I was actually able, during our quiet reflection time, to think about where I'm going with this show and where I'm going with some other projects, and it gave me some clarity. So, unsolicited, nothing to do with this show is so gay recommendation, do an experience like Outward Bound. Really push yourself. You will definitely have those moments where you feel like a speck. I definitely had those moments where I felt like, oh gosh, I'm just a speck of nothing. When you are surrounded by all the majesty of these ginormous mountains, and you're sitting in the meadows and you're looking at the streams, and it's just the most incredible thing. But it's also a reminder that, yeah, we are specks, but we can also make a difference. So I encourage you, do an experience like that, or, you know, just get your voice out there in a way that pushes you a little bit, but not into that place of panic. So there you go. Again, a lot of news out there right now. What's going on with the Supreme Court? They're going to tell us maybe tomorrow, maybe in a couple days, maybe at the start of next week. We're not quite sure when exactly the Supreme Court is going to issue their decision on marriage equality. Now, the fun piece is there are some infographics being shared all around the interwebs reminding us that June 26th has traditionally been a great day for the LGBT community in the Supreme Court. Two of the biggest decisions that have ever been made that advanced equality in the LGBT community actually happened on June 26th. So it would be quite amazing if June 26th, which would be Friday, June 26th, would be, you know, whoa, marriage equality issued by the Supreme Court. There's a great piece over in Out Magazine that has a lot of notable activists giving their quotes in advance of the Supreme Court ruling. I love this one. This is from Cleve Jones. Activist Cleve Jones worked with Harvey Milk for years. He said this quote, "In the wake of Proposition 8, we saw this explosion of grassroots anger and organization that shifted the strategy to one of demanding full federal equality, something opposed by almost all our national groups and allies in the Democratic Party. Our leader said the country wasn't ready, and yet here we are today, on the cusp of such an amazing victory. It's important for ordinary LGBT people to know that they made it happen, that they should get the credit for it. This was a situation where virtually none of our leaders were leading, and so the people led." Cleve Jones. Love that one. Love that one. One more, too. This is from Roberta Kaplan, who was the attorney in the case against the Defense of Marriage Act. She said this, quote, "I don't think any gay person, certainly of my generation or older, can think about what's happening today without taking into account what life was like not so long ago for so many of us. If someone had told me 15 years ago that we'd be sitting where we are, I'd have told them they were absolutely, totally crazy. And if they had said that I'd be the one fighting for this at the Supreme Court, I'd have said that they should probably be in a straitjacket, or at least heavily medicated." Love her. Roberta Kaplan, she was the attorney for E.D. Windsor in the United States versus Windsor, the suit that saw the Supreme Court strike down Section 3 of DOMA. And she's got a new book out, by the way, as well. It's called Then Comes Marriage, United States versus Windsor and the Defeat of DOMA. And it's going to be released in October, and we will definitely try to get her on the show to talk about that. Exciting stuff, exciting stuff. But while I was on the plane back from Denver here to Cleveland, I was reading an op-ed in, I think it was The Advocate, and it was a profile of Michelangelo Signorelli, and he has coined the phrase that we've actually talked about quite a bit on here, but never using this phrase, and the phrase is victory blindness. victory blindness. And victory blindness is that idea that we have to keep highlighting to folks that don't get complacent, that marriage equality is not the only issue out there, that gay men still can't give blood, that I could get married on Sunday if the Supreme Court tomorrow says that I can get married. I could get married on Sunday here in Ohio, but on Monday, if I put up a picture of me and my partner, well, heck, I could get fired for that. We still don't have employment protections here in Ohio, and we still don't have employment protections nationally. So there is so much more work to do out there, and Michelangelo Signorelli points out, hey, this is not the time to become complacent if we get marriage equality. This is the time to be even more courageous and to do a full court press and to say to folks, yes, we have this, but we also need these other things. We need more protections for our trans brothers and sisters. Trans women of color are so disproportionately the victims of violence. And so we need more protections for our trans brothers and sisters. We need more protections for our vulnerable LGBT youth who are struggling out there. It's not just about marriage equality. There are other things out there. Adoption. So many states where adoption is not legal. Conversion therapy. Let's go back to conversion therapy. We have to highlight that conversion therapy, with the exception of 3 states, is still legal. You can still be subjected to horrible, horrible conversion therapy under the guise of helping LGBT individuals. So victory blindness, this idea that marriage equality is not the only game in town. We got to keep our eyes focused on the larger picture. Speaking of conversion therapy, we will put out there that a lawyer representing that New Jersey nonprofit that offers conversion therapy called several men suing the group flat-out liars during his closing arguments of the civil trial just this week, while the attorney for those plaintiffs characterized the group as amateurs using scalpels on the minds of young gay men. Jurors heard closing arguments this week and were to receive instructions from the judge straight away before beginning deliberations. Just to remind you, the lawsuit filed in 2012 accuses Jews Offering New Alternatives for Healing, that's the name of the group, Jews Offering New Alternatives for Healing. They accuse this group of violating New Jersey's consumer fraud laws by promising to turn gays into heterosexuals. To prevail, the plaintiffs need to convince a jury that Jews Offering New Alternatives for Healing, or JONA, as it is called, engaged in unconscionable practices or made false promises or misrepresentations. It's hard to believe that they weren't able to prove that. I mean, this is a group, JONA, that's promising to turn gay people into straight people, which, you know, you can't do. Science proves not only can you not do that, psychology proves that not only can you not do that, but it does harm along the way as you try that. The original 4 plaintiffs, 3 from Orthodox Jewish families and the 4th a Mormon, allege that JONA exploited them with false promises as they struggled with their same-sex attractions in strict religious environments where they were expected to marry women and have children. In his summation, attorney James Bromley said JONA's sales pitch included telling prospective clients that it had a 2/3 success rate. There's no way. JONA co-founder Arthur Goldberg testified during the trial that the group kept no records. What kind of practice keeps no records? But instead, he said they relied on anecdotal evidence from JONA-affiliated counselors. Bromley said that that's the attorney. Bromley said Alan Downing, a counselor who has been named as a defendant, quote, had no medical training, no licenses of any type. This lawyer, Bromley, added that one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, who had been sexually abused as a child, said he participated in a reenactment of the abuse performed by other JONA clients as part of a program co-created by Alan Downing, you know, the counselor who had no medical training and no licenses of any type. Wow. The concluding quote here is from James Bromley, the attorney. He said, quote, this is all in a process designed and run by amateurs. Scary stuff. And yet, there are only 3 states where things like this are outlawed. Victory blindness, not just about marriage equality. It's going to be our theme from here on out. Nutty stuff, nutty stuff. And you just have to lament. You have to lament these faith backgrounds that really pushed these individuals, not just the faith backgrounds, obviously also the families as well, that pushed these plaintiffs into the situation where they had to subject themselves to charlatans, just outright harmful charlatans, in order to cure them, in order to change them, in order to reject their natural inclinations. Rough stuff, rough stuff. Stuff that happened while I was gone, good stuff. There's good stuff out there. The Obama administration, they did it a little bit quietly, but they announced a huge change for trans government workers, which will be effective January 1st, 2016. When January 1st, 2016 hits, insurance companies that participate in the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program must include transition-related coverage. Look at that. The Office of Personnel Management let word slip this week in letters to insurers, instructing them that they cannot maintain blanket exclusions of the coverage. The letter stated this, quote, "No carrier participating in the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program may have a general exclusion of services, drugs, or supplies related to gender transition or sex transformations." This letter clarifies OPM's earlier guidance, recognizing the evolving professional consensus that treatment may be medically necessary to address a diagnosis of gender dysphoria. This is very good news, very good news. It wasn't this huge, huge announcement, but it has big implications for all of our trans brothers and sisters who are working at the federal level. So good stuff there. Over in Britain, St. Catherine's College at the University of Cambridge, historic and legendary University of Cambridge, it is one of the United Kingdom's oldest colleges, has shown itself to be anything but a stodgy formal institution blindly adhering to tradition. The school demonstrated it last week. They showed how up with the times they are by revising a centuries-old, hundreds and hundreds of years old dress code to accommodate transgender students. St. Catherine's students are required to wear, quote, smart dress to all formal occasions, which was formerly defined as, quote, smart trousers and jacket with tie for male students, and, quote, a skirt and blouse or dress for female students. Now, College Dean Mark Elliott has reworded the 650-year-old policy. 650-year-old policy. How nutty. It now reads, quote, smart dress is defined without reference to considerations of gender identity or expression. I love this story. It shows that, yes, there are these policies that exist, 650-year-old policies that we have to update. They exist out there. The dress code update follows a successful campaign led by Classics doctoral students and trans woman Charlie Northrup, who told the United Kingdom news station ITV that the change was specifically meant to accommodate non-binary and gender non-conforming students. She explained that the former policy had included an unwritten understanding that all self-identified women, including trans women, were allowed to wear dresses, and all self-identified men, including trans men, were allowed to wear trousers. Now, Northrup explained to school newspaper Varsity, quote, men can wear dresses, women can wear suits, and non-binary people are free to define the outfits that they feel are most appropriate to them in a formal setting. So fantastic. I love that story. So great stuff there. Over in New York City, we were just talking about New York City a ton with Harrison Scott, our guest on this week's show. New York City's Landmarks Commission last week voted to grant official status to the Stonewall Inn, the Greenwich Village bar often credited as the birthplace of the modern LGBT rights movement. The vote was unanimous. This marks the first time that any site in New York City has been designated a landmark because of its significance in LGBT history. Yay, Pride Month! Just to remind you, in case we don't know our history out there, a police raid at the Stonewall Inn on June 28, 1969, met with opposition and led to a spontaneous week-long uprising that is commemorated in gay pride events every year in New York and around the world. The commission's chairwoman, Meenakshi Srinivasan, called the Stonewall events a turning point in the LGBT rights movement in the nation's history. So great. So the Stonewall Inn was originally designated a National Historic Landmark in 2000. However, the new designation would provide additional safeguards to keep the building from being changed. The original Stonewall Inn at 5153 Christopher Street was located in what were originally two stables built in the 1840s. I didn't even know that. And rebuilt in 1930. When Stonewall opened as a gay bar in 1967, it had an unmarked exterior except for a large, rusty, broken neon sign reading Stonewall Inn, which was left by a previous tenant. So great. So the Stonewall Inn was now voted a New York City landmark. So fantastic. Great there. If you've never been to the Stonewall Inn, I used to love it. I used to go there. I can't remember what night of the week, but they used to have bitchy bingo, and it was very enjoyable. They also used to have win, lose, or draw, comma, you bitch. That was the name of it. That was the name of the show that they had there. Very fun. Fun stuff out there. On the other side of the equation, some landmarks, some art, some historic significance, you know, not doing as well. Twice within 1 week, a mural depicting LGBT Latinos in San Francisco's Mission District has been vandalized overnight with spray paint. But now the artists have caught the second round of vandals on camera. Good job there. The mural, which evokes classic Cholo culture, but features a gay male couple, a lesbian couple, a trans man, and the words por vida, which means for life, it was found last week covered in black spray paint, echoing the blue and red paint found scrawled across the faces of its subjects 1 week ago. In the prior attack, the image of the transgender man in the center of the mural was initially left untouched and was later covered in paint. This time, all five figures were marked. The mural was commissioned by Galleria de la Raza on 24th Street and designed by Manuel Paul of the Maricon Collective, a group of four queer Chicano DJs and artists who host parties, create original art, and raise awareness about other queer Chicano artists. A security camera has been monitoring the mural, and the video has been recorded ever since its first defacement. Ani Rivera, the owner of the Galleria de la Raza, told a local news station that the camera captured two vandals spraying paint on the mural around midnight last Sunday, but that the footage will not be released to the media because it first needs to be reviewed by the San Francisco Police Department for its investigation. So, good job, everybody out there, for catching those vandals. The Galleria de la Raza has begun fundraising to once again restore the mural. You can see the original mural over on advocate.com, or if you just search for it. It's on Twitter as well. But you can help them with their fundraising if you stroll on over to donatenow.networkforgood.org and you just type in Galleria de la Raza. You can help them with their fundraising efforts. So, also, crazy negative news. Horrible, horrible story that came out of Atlanta just this week. An Atlanta gay man is recovering from a head injury that required 13 stitches. 13! After being struck in the head with a bat by a man who allegedly said he hated gay people. Adrian Dre, he goes by Dre Wilson, opened up to media this week about his ordeal, which he says started when he took a short video of his neighbor Denzel Johnson on his phone. He explained in a YouTube video that he records men with their pants sagging low and puts them on his YouTube channel. He said Johnson spotted him recording and went inside his apartment, then returned for what Wilson thought might be a confrontation, but that Johnson simply asked for help changing a flat tire on his car. Wilson said he offered to repair the damaged tire for money rather than replace it with a new one. Johnson then allegedly asked Wilson how much to pay while crouching over the tire. Wilson said that he quoted $10, but Johnson said he didn't have that much money, so Wilson made a joke. Wilson said this quote, "You already gave me a free peep show, so I'll go ahead and do it for free." And Johnson apparently didn't take well to that comment, and he hit him in the head with a bat. Horrible. Horrible. Violence still out there. Violence very much still out there. So we have to keep on our guard, and we also have to support all those organizations like the Anti-Violence Project that are doing such amazing work to raise the level of dialogue about what it means to be an ally, what it means to practice nonviolence, what it means to actively put yourself out there to reduce violence against our LGBT brothers and sisters. Horrible news out there in Atlanta. Even more horrible news over in other countries, Kyrgyzstan. I don't know that we've ever talked about Kyrgyzstan on this show before. Kyrgyzstan has advanced a bill that would criminalize so-called gay propaganda and apply harsher penalties than a similar law in Russia, even harsher than similar laws in Russia where it's not great. Kyrgyzstan, a former Soviet republic, their national legislative body approved a bill this week by a vote of 90-2. In the second of three readings. The third reading, necessary before the bill goes to President Almazbek Atamabayev for his signature, will likely take place this fall ahead of the legislative election in October. The bill seems to be a harsher version of the legislation passed by Russia in 2013. It bans propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations, including statements that would create a positive attitude to unconventional sexual orientation. It calls for jail terms of up to a year for violators of this. Russia, in contrast, you know, Russia, who we were protesting like crazy because of their harsh penalties, Russia only calls for fines in most of these cases. It's unclear from press reports if the Kyrgyzstan bill would criminalize such propaganda, essentially any positive mention of LGBT people or issues, only when it appears in venues accessible to minors, as it is written in Russia's law, or if it's all mentions of anything positive about LGBT people or issues. So we will keep our eye on that. In Louisiana, gosh, I need some happy stories, but they keep getting worse and worse. Bobby Jindal, Governor Bobby Jindal, he has made it official. While I was gone in Colorado, he's made it official. He is running for president. Another far-right anti-gay candidate, he has officially joined the list of those seeking the 2016 Republican presidential nomination. He said this quote in a speech to an enthusiastic crowd this week. He said, quote, "My name is Bobby Jindal. I am running for president of the greatest country in the world, the United States of America." Bobby Jindal is well known for his opposition to marriage equality and LGBT rights generally. He also believes that those who oppose same-sex marriage on religious grounds are being persecuted. This May, as we covered on the show, he issued an executive order barring the state from penalizing any person, business, or organization that acts in accordance with his religious belief that marriage is or should be recognized as the union of one man and one woman. That order came after state legislators killed a bill that would have accomplished the same goal. So, if Bobby Jindal is going to put himself out there as a candidate who, you know, wants to work with anybody, let's also remember that he is a governor who, even when his state legislature said, this is not in the best interest of our state of Louisiana right now, this is not where we are interested in spending our time, this is not where we are interested in spending our resources, this is not where the people are, Bobby Jindal said, I don't care. I'm going to stand up there and say, I am the governor. And I'm going to issue an executive order because it's just what I believe. So Bobby Jindal at no point can even say that he's for the people of Louisiana. Now he's stepping up and saying he's for the people of the United States. A bit of a joke. A bit of a joke there for Bobby Jindal. But Bobby Jindal, he is now a candidate for president of the United States. A happy story over in the sports world. We love when people come out in the sports world because there is still a dearth of out athletes. And certainly a dearth of out active athletes. This story is not in the active category, but former San Jose Earthquake soccer player Matt Hatzka has come out as a gay man. Matt says he already knew he was gay when he played as a midfielder for the team during the 2008 season, but he didn't feel comfortable telling any of his teammates. He said this quote, "I truly believe that I could never come out as gay while playing professional soccer. It was that year in Major League Soccer that I'd reached my breaking point. My release from soccer put me on the path to coming out to myself, my family, and to my friends." He said that this week when he attended the LGBTQ Film Festival in San Francisco's Castro Theater and watched Out to Win, which I keep hearing all about. I gotta get my hands on that film. It's a film about professional athletes coming out. He said this quote, "These are probably some of the athletes I looked up to and took inspiration from myself." So there you go. Former professional sports guy. We kind of want them to come out while they're still playing, but, you know, he still came out, so that's a big deal. But very interesting that only a few years ago in Major League Soccer, he's putting out there, it wouldn't have been a safe place for him to come out. He wouldn't have been comfortable doing that. So wasn't that long ago that he was playing professional soccer. So one could easily argue still so much work to do there in the arena of professional sports to make it safer, to make it more comfortable for our professional athletes who are gay, and they are out there, they're just in the closet, for them to come out. not that many active players these days. Not that many active gay players in professional sports. In tennis, some. There's some in tennis, but not so much. And by the way, when I say in tennis, I mean women. I in no way mean men. We are still waiting for an out male active professional tennis player, of which there have to be some, and yet there aren't any. On the women's side, quite a few. I can name three or four out gay women professional tennis players, and this is a sport I know front and back. I cannot name one, not even one, on the men's side. So even in the world of tennis, there clearly is more work to do there. So there you go. And folks, that's our roundup. I feel like I'm all caught up. I was in the Rocky Mountains, I'm back in Cleveland, and now I'm caught up with the gay news. Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much to Harrison Scott, who was on this week's show, harrisonscottsound.com, and you can check out all the amazing things he is doing with his voice to get people in that transportive place where you will be listening to some synth pop music, fun stuff there. You guys, send an email on over to ken@theshowisogay.com. If you have ideas for guests, let me know them. We are always looking for more guests. And of course, happy Pride Month. Happy Pride Month. It's my first time saying it. Happy Pride Month. Hope that you are out there using your voice to make a difference for your LGBT and ally brothers and sisters. And I hope that during this Pride Month, you will remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Kneel down.